How many know that truth isn't a very popular message today? But it's the only thing that's going to set people free. So, by the grace of God, we will continue to proclaim the truth, whether it's popular or not. Because the day is coming when we shall all give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't let Washington tell me what truth is. I let the Word of God reveal it to me by the Holy Spirit. And when I was about my own truth, my own understanding, I was a prisoner to myself, to my own ways. And then when the truth and the love of God broke through my heart, I was set free. Set free from myself, so I can now serve the Lord. And I desire truth now in the inward parts. It doesn't always feel good initially, but it always produces good fruit. And the word is like a fire sometimes. It stings, it burns, but it's good because fire purifies. And God wants a pure people that are ready, prepared for Him. You can make some external changes. We can make some adjustments. We can change our behaviors and make some better choices. But folks, you cannot change your heart. Only Christ does that. Amen. By the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word. So we don't want to just try to patch up our life or put band-aids on it. We want to surrender our life to the Lord and allow Him to transform us into His glorious image. And so it's not what you achieve, it's what you receive. We got to get out of the achievement thing. So we've grown up with that mentality of, I have to achieve things, you know. But in the Lord, it's by grace. And so it's not something you achieve, but it is something by faith that you receive. It's what you believe. It's what you believe. What you believe will be manifested in the way that you live. You know, we can say things with our mouth and say we believe things, but what we believe in our hearts is eventually what's going to come out. Amen? Our life will demonstrate what we really believe. We will live the life that we believe to be true. So, if I believe that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, then I will live as that new creation. I'm not talking about just acknowledging with my mind. I'm talking about really believing in my heart, amen, that I am a new creation. When I believe in my heart, the reality, the truth, in my mind and spirit come into agreement, then my life will follow suit. The way that I live follows suit. In the world, we're trying from the external, from the outside, to just make adjustments and changes. And you can make good changes and make good decisions and good choices externally, but it doesn't change your heart. And so often, you only go for so long on just external change. But eventually, your heart will get in the way. It'll tell on you. It'll mess you up again. You need a new heart. God gives us a new heart, and He puts His Spirit within us. And that Spirit directs and teaches us and tells us this is the way that we should live. This is the way we should go. So again, it's not about achieving. It is about receiving by faith the promise of God. Amen. I may feel some mornings when I get up that God's not there, but the truth of the matter is He promised to never leave me or forsake me. So I have to make a determination what I'm going to believe to be the truth. If you believe truth is that God has left you, then that's the way that you'll live. You'll live defeated, and you'll live as an orphan, with an orphan mentality, that I've been abandoned by God. But I don't live by my feelings. I live by faith in what God promised. His truth is my reality, because His truth is the only reality. If you want to know what's really real, You need to listen to Jesus. He's the truth. And the truth sets you free. Amen. I'm free today. I'm free as a bird. I'm free in the Lord. I believe in my Lord. I believe in His grace. I believe He took care of my sin problem already. Amen. And I believe if I mess up, I can come to Him and confess it. And He forgives me. And that's it. The end of it. I'm not going to live in regret. I'm not going to live out of the regrets of yesterday. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Live from the reality of what is now and not out of the memories of the past. The truth is, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. You start declaring that about yourself and watch what happens. You start believing what you're declaring because you're declaring what is true, what is real. If you start speaking lies about yourself, then that lie becomes your reality, your truth. Of course, that's called deception. You're self-deceived. The reality is that God loves me, that I'm His son, that He went to the cross for me. He paid the price for my sin, that my sins are under the blood. I'm forgiven today. I'm a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. My reality is Jesus. He is the truth. What He says is what I receive and what I accept. And what I believe is what I will live. And what I believe is how I will live. Yeah. So we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind so that our life becomes more and more like Him, Christ-like. The renewing of our minds, amen, the transformation that takes place through the truth, through the word of the Lord. Amen. We get to be witnesses for Jesus. And this is our Jerusalem. This is our home. This is where we begin. In this modern day, there is no doubt. Everything gets louder, but the Christian shout. While the Christian, he sits quiet at home. His only fear is Sunday, church might be too long. There must be something more we need to feel. And maybe by our actions, folks can see it's real. David danced before the Lord. The blind man leaped so full of joy. On that Sabbath they did shout, palm leaves thrown along his route. There must be something more we need to feel. People in the streets all carry signs, each one declaring they must speak their minds. Come on. There's another verse that says, Christians are so nervous anymore. Well, you can hear a pin drop on the church house floor. And if you get to coughing, know the score. An usher brings a cough drop or shows you to the door. There must be something more, and there is, isn't there? You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And the world's not going to understand you. All they're going to watch us burn for Jesus, amen, and say, wow, there's definitely something different about that one. And I want what they have, because what they have is real. We don't have to fake it, amen? We have it. We have the substance, which is Christ. He's our truth, our reality. If we don't have the boldness, then we need more power. We need to pray and be empowered from on high. God will give you what you have need of. But He also looks for an obedient heart. He's looking for someone who will just step out of the boat. And it takes courage to step out of the boat. You know, be of good courage and I will strengthen your heart. Be of good courage and I will strengthen your heart. Your responsibility, my responsibility is to take courage. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you, right? Do not be afraid. Take courage. As God told Joshua, right? Be bold, be strong, be courageous. As you take the step of obedience, as you take courage, you know, courage, folks, is not a lack of fear. It's mastery over fear. Anytime you step out and you face a giant, there's going to be an element of fear. Every time you're called to do something that you can't do, there's going to be an element of fear. But courage, again, is not a lack of all fear. It means that you are not going to allow the fear to control you. Instead, you will master it. You'll step on it. You'll refuse it. You will say, no, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what I have in Him. It's who I am. I'm a loving individual. I have the love of God in my heart. Now, if you spend too much time watching the news today, you can get depressed. There's hardly anything good on the news. Have you noticed that? And often our view of life is shaped by the only news sources that we have available to us. If you really want to find out what's going on, there are places and sites online that are giving you more of a reality check than what you're seeing on CNN, by the way, and Fox. If you watch CNN and Fox, you're going to get somebody's bias. You're going to get somebody's agenda. And I'm not saying that everything is a lie on there. I'm just saying that there is an agenda to shape and form the way you think about your world. And it's not God's way. That's why we need the Word. We need to know what God says about it. And how many know that God says that as His people, we should be full of hope. We should be full of joy. We should not be depressed. We should not be fearful. We should not be worrisome. But we should be walking in the strength of the Lord. And know that our Father, He's our Father. He's on the throne. And He's going to take care of us if we trust Him. We should be the most optimistic, the most positive people on the planet. We have hope. We have the God of all hope. And we should not get caught up in fretting over evildoers and all the stuff that we see. There's so much negativity, folks, that if we just dwell on that, we'll find ourselves just spitting and fretting and fussing about everything. And we can forget all about what we're really supposed to be doing. You know, you're not going to change anything by cursing it. As a matter of fact, you don't curse America. You pray for America. Amen? Pray and believe God. I believe God wants to do something good in America. He does, but He's waiting on you and I to get into agreement with what He wants to do. Otherwise, things are going to take their course, because if people rebel against God, it causes a defilement to come upon the land, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the drought, because that is a result of sin, folks. You look throughout the scriptures, and drought is a result of the people's sin. It brings drought, famine, and war, pestilence, disease. All these things are a result of judgments that are brought on mankind because he refuses to listen to God. And God wants people to be blessed. He wants to bless His creation. He loves us, but we've got to listen to Him. I mean, every time we decide to do something that we know God doesn't approve of, we're actually making it worse. We're not being a blessing, we're bringing a curse. Every time we make that wrong decision to listen to our selfish way instead of God's way, we are influencing not just ourselves, but we're influencing everybody else. People say, well, my sin is just between, you know, me and myself and I, and, you know, what I do in secret is nobody's business. Well, what you do in secret does affect people openly. There are no secrets with God. The Bible says to rejoice always in all things, and in all things give thanks. Remember, thanksgiving produces praise. And praise brings His presence And in his presence is fullness of joy. So whatever's happening in our world, folks, is not supposed to be happening on the inside of us. We're not to allow the external situation that we live in to influence us internally. Instead, what is on the inside of us, the kingdom, amen, is supposed to be manifested in the external life or world around us. We are world changers in Christ. We are the world shakers. We are not world conformers, but we're world changers. And if we conform to this world and we allow it to tell us what's right and what's wrong, then we are simply just aiding and abetting the enemy in his plan of destruction. We look in our nation today and it is a deck of cards coming down very quickly. Things are happening suddenly. There's many suddenlies happening all over the world because of the time we're living in. Well, so far, okay? I've got a stirring message this morning, but it's a message I know that God wants us to hear again and be reminded of. I believe, folks, that what we are witnessing is a great falling away. I don't want to prophesy that or declare that as being this is the way it has to be, but eventually that will happen according to prophecy. I also believe that in the church there is a great falling away. In fact, there is a falling away even among those who regularly attend church. There is a falling away in the pulpits. There's a falling away in the pews. And a falling away of the heart. It's more than just my physical location and the activities I do in my flesh. Are you hearing me? It's a matter of the heart. Where is my heart at? Where is my treasure at? What do you treasure? What you treasure is what you're going to spend yourself on. If you treasure the kingdom and the Lord and his will and his purpose and eternity, you'll live that way. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, a letter was being circulated that the church had missed the coming of the Lord, and people were shaken by that. And so Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, "Now, brethren, concerning," verse 1, "the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And listen, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." This is the Antichrist, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Even John said in his letters, the early writings of John the Apostle, he said there are many antichrists in the world, even at that time. Those who are presenting themselves as Christ, and even through certain doctrines and teachings that tell people that they are gods, it's the same lie. There are many antichrists, those who are against Christ or in place of Christ. And this word falling away says the day of the Lord is not going to come except what? The falling away comes first, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. That word is apostasy, what we get our word apostasy today, apostasia. And it means to forsake or to fall away. It also means to forsake truth. Apostasy also means to forsake the truth. And we are living in a time when people do not want the truth. And as even Paul told Timothy, that the time would come when men would not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but after their own lust, they would heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, you know. Tickle my ears, tell me what I want to hear, and they shall turn away from the truth unto fables. And it's a popular message, and it will draw a crowd because it's not telling people anything that they really need to hear. Because the truth, again, it stings, it hurts sometimes, but it hurts good. It's good for us. Amen? You've ever heard this saying, no pain, no gain. It's the same thing in the spirit. There is going to be pain in the process, but the long-term results are worth it. Sometimes we have short-term pain for long-term gain. So there's going to be, he says, before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a great falling away. Paul told Timothy what it would be like in the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, if you want to know what the spirit of Antichrist is, take a look at this with me. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Are you hearing it? For men will be lovers of themselves. Selfishness. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, nothing sacred. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, living unclean lives, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good. Isn't that what's happening today? You talk to especially the young people in school today. It's not popular to be good. Even when I was in high school, how much more today? People despise those who are good today. He says they'll be traitors, they'll be headstrong, they'll be haughty, proud, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The King James says they'd be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, it says to do what? Turn away. If we live like this, then we need to repent. We need to turn away from these things, and we need to turn to God with all of our heart, and we need to plead for His mercy. Now, Paul also told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that this is what's going to happen in the last days. Are you hearing it? He says the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, clearly or expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, in Revelation 17, we see a picture of a harlot riding on a scarlet beast. And many Bible scholars believe that this harlot represents the false church, or the apostate church, and that the beast represents the revived Roman Empire, and so that this church system will have authority or power over this revived Roman Empire, this world system, for a season. And then eventually they will turn against this false church, and the false church will also be destroyed. But the harlot on this beast is wearing all this this gold and the pearls and this. Let's look at it. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So she's arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, pearls, and in her hand she has a golden cup full of two things, really, idolatry and sexual immorality. And so this apostate church is going to be filled with idolatry and sexual immorality. And again, if we go back to what Paul was telling Timothy, these are the things that we need to look for in the last days when men are lovers of themselves, you know. They're proud, they're arrogant, they're slanderers, they're without natural affection, that you know, people are going to be, you know, hating each other and unforgiving and all these things we see. That is the spirit of Antichrist. That is the spirit of this world. And here we see this harlot that represents a false church having much power, influence on the nations of the world. And we can see these things happening. Not only through history, we can see that there have been situations not only with Catholic Church, but also the Protestant Church. Amen. Where they've been killing each other and martyring one another. And in the name of God. And isn't that true? Because there's those that want to point the finger at the Catholic Church and Catholics want to point at the Protestants. I believe that this apostate church is going to be made up of, thank you, all religions, including certain Catholics and certain Protestants. Okay? What we are seeing today is this thing called the ecumenical movement. Okay? And also, how many have heard of the interfaith movement? The interfaith movement is all the religions and the religious leaders of the world coming together, including Christian, even evangelical Christian leaders have been involved with this, folks. They're saying what we want is a one world religion. We're all going to worship the same God and we're all going to get along and come into agreement. And doesn't that sound wonderful, though, that the world would come together and have peace under the name of God? Of course, we need to ask the question, what God? Because they worship different gods. Amen. Everybody has their own version of God. So what God are we talking about? Well, we know what God they're talking about. They're talking about Lucifer, the god of this world. And they're coming together because in the truth is that there is only one way, one truth and one life and one way to the Father. Amen. John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There was one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There was one old rugged cross, and the blood of that perfect spotless Lamb of God was slain there for us. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. God became a man. Amen. He went to the cross for us. He redeemed us through His own precious blood. He is separating a people out. It's called the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, to represent Him in the earth. There is one way to the Father, and it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There are not many ways and not many roads. These religions are leading people to hell because they are the ways of man. And they are the teachings of demons. Now I want you to hear this because Jesus calls us to bear His reproach. The reproach is the cross. The offense is the cross. Are you hearing me? And what's happening even in many churches today, in evangelical churches today, they are eliminating the message of the cross. Because it is an offense. And the blood. That would mean, yes, the blood. The devil is attacking the truth. Are you hearing me? He's trying to eliminate it from the message. So that it broadens the way to so-called life. That, hey, you want to go that way? Go for it, you know? We're all heading the same direction. All roads lead to God, they say. Well, do you understand, folks, that yes, every path is going to lead to God, but only one is going to lead to glory. And that is through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth and the life. And having said that, it becomes an offense because, well, you are an intolerant bigot to think that there's only just one way to God and that Christianity, true Christianity, is the only way to God. And you're saying that all these other religions are not the way to God. How narrow-minded. Let me remind you that Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Because wide is the road, and many go in there. So we've got to make the decision to stand up for what is true, to stand up for Christ, and to be willing to bear His reproach. As the old song says, the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear, for He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. We're not talking about some militant crusade thing that happened in history. That was a perversion, folks. That's not the way of Jesus, amen. We're going to follow the Jesus of the Bible, amen. Not some ecclesiastical system that mankind has established in order to exalt mankind, amen, in the place of God. Jesus says, your brethren, amen, He's going to be greatest among you. Let Him be the servant of all. Are you hearing me? We have exalted people, and because of that, we cause divisions. There are many churches that are divided because, well, I'm a follower of this person, and I'm a follower of that person. Hey, is Christ divided? No. We're all brethren. We're all working together for Jesus. Amen. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and He's the one that unites us together. God does place authority in the church. He has given apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. For the equipping of the saints, right? To perfect us, to prepare us. And there is authority, but it's not a ruling over type authority. It's not a dictatorship. Amen. It's not the type of leadership that we see in the world where, you know, they call them benefactors. And come on. We are brethren. We are in a cooperative fellowship. We are to submit one to another. We are to love one another. We are to lift up one another. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That means it's foundational. It's not from above, it's from beneath. You see, Jesus came and girded Himself and washed His disciples' feet and says, I've given you an example. This is how I want you to treat one another. I want you to serve one another. And I want you to love one another. Amen? Just as I've demonstrated to you. So this false church is represented by this harlot riding on this beast. And there's two things in this golden cup which speaks of idolatry and sexual immorality. So whatever this church, this world church, is going to be lavished with money. It's going to be very wealthy. And there's two things. And the first one is idolatry. Do you understand? Idolatry is you and I forming a God to suit ourselves. Folks, we can go down to the park. I can even get together with an ecumenical movement or a group of Christians coming together. And you'll get all kinds of opinions about what God is like. Well, my God lets me do whatever I want. No, that's not my God. With grace comes responsibility. And it's called love one another. If I love you, I'm not going to allow anything in my life that would cause you to stumble. Because I'm not a Christian for me. I'm a Christian for you. I live for Jesus. Amen? Well, yeah, it's important that we live for Jesus for ourselves. But the main thing is that we should be like Jesus and His example. And that is to be what? A follower of the Lord. A follower of the Father. Jesus didn't come with His agenda. He didn't come with His own thing to do. He simply said, Father, what do You want me to do? What are we going to do together today? Never be a Christian for yourself. Be a Christian for the kingdom. Be a Christian for others. But when we become Christians for ourselves, folks, we begin to separate ourselves. Are you hearing me? And it causes divisions. Why? Because at the root of division is selfishness. It's the work of the flesh. But the love of God, the agape love of God, is a love that wants to serve and to bless and to give. It's the love that is unselfish love. It is sacrificial love. It is a love that is willing even to suffer for the benefit of someone else. Jesus was willing to suffer for the benefit of many because of his love. Are you hearing me? That's God's love. It's not this self-serving thing that the church has been subjected to. And so many, they like that kind of church because what can I get out of it? It's like, how can I be a blessing? Jesus, you did everything for me. What can I do for you now? How can I say thank you back? How can I love you back? That's what worship is. It's finding ways to love God back. Not to get more, but to love God back. And as you love and as you give, your needs will be taken care of. You'll be filled. You'll be satisfied as you love. Amen. Never be a Christian for yourself. Problem is that when we get introverted, when we start thinking about, I struggle sometimes the same way. We got to keep our eyes off us. When I start getting into that, I get into self-pity, I get into depression, I get into woe is me. Are you hearing me? When I start living for God and living for other people, I'm joyful. There's joy when we learn to love the cross. The cross teaches us to deny ourselves. Disown yourself. You're not your own master anymore. He's your master. It's not up to me anymore. It's up to God how I live my life. And when I live for Him, I find joy. I find righteousness. I find peace in the Holy Spirit. How many can say amen to that today? Amen. Folks, we're in trouble when churches are ordaining homosexuals. We're in trouble when they are flashing up the colors of the rainbow on the White House. A 3% now making it appear as if the rest of us all are in agreement with that. And they're trying to get us to believe and to buy into that lie. I pray for those people because they're lost. And if they don't repent, they're not going to go to heaven, folks. I don't care how much grace we want to give ourselves. Grace is given to those who humble themselves and repent. And God says it's an abomination because it's not the way I designed you from the beginning. He made them male and female, amen, with seed so that they could reproduce and fill the earth. If you want to have extinction of a species, let's just all live that lifestyle and see what happens. How long will the human race exist? It's against nature itself. It's not God's order. Folks, I'm sorry, but we cannot try to appease people who are living in this kind of delusion. It's a deception. It's demonic, and it will bring them to hell. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He loves the homosexual. We should love the homosexual. Amen. And we should try to win them with the love of God. And listen, there's a better way. This is God's way. Many people have been broken and wounded and hurt through life, and it has messed with their mind. Are you hearing me? And it's caused confusion in them. But that's not God's order. And from the very beginning, it was not so. And God is saying, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. Instead, this false church is going to blend with whatever is popular. Whatever Hollywood says is great. There are many Christians, folks, who basically live by the standards of the world because they don't even know what God says. And my question is, are you really a Christian in the first place? Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you? Because if you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit produces holiness, and it produces in you an awareness and an understanding of what God accepts and what He doesn't accept. And for us to say that it's okay to be, to be a homosexual and be a Christian at the same time is a perversion. And God's Holy Spirit would never bear witness to that. And so if somebody believes that and they claim to be a Christian, I highly doubt that they have the Spirit of Christ in them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit always agrees with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit always exalts Jesus. I'm totally against gay bashing. I'm totally against people, you know, who are abusing people because they're living this lifestyle. Because all sin, amen, is unrighteousness. All sin God hates. Because there's people who are living in adultery or fornication who are attacking the homosexual. The bottom line is people need to repent, period. And quit comparing ourselves to somebody else. Let God's word be the standard by which we compare ourselves. Because this world church, this corrupt church, folks, is a liberal church that allows for anything to go. It says that in this golden cup, it was filled with idolatries, all kinds of perversions of what God is like, and fornications. That word means sexual immorality. Do you understand, folks, if we are living in a known sin and we're living in open rebellion to God, and then we come and we want to bring an offering of praise to God, it's an abomination. He doesn't receive it. We can look all spiritual, you know, make people think we're all spiritual, but you know, a tree is known by its fruit. And the bottom line is, God's going to one day, you know, call everyone into accountability. The Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. That every one of us shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we shall give an account of ourselves. To those believers, they will receive rewards for what they did, amen? Or their works may be burned up. But then there's coming another judgment seat. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And this is the one for the wicked dead. And they shall, and whoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be cast into the lake of fire. And I don't want to be there. So we have to make a decision whether we're going to try to be everybody's friend or we're going to be a friend of God. I didn't say that we don't love people, because if you love people, you tell them the truth. What people are calling today love, even in the church, is not love at all. Love is not telling somebody it's okay to do something that's destructive. That's not love. That is hypocritical love. But true love is telling people the truth, even when you know that they're going to get upset with you. That some people are going to walk out on you. Some people are going to say, oh, I don't want to listen to that. But do you love people enough to tell them the truth? Or are we just trying to appease and please everybody so everybody will be my friend and we'll just have be one big happy family? Folks, that is the wide road that leads to destruction. Narrow, confined, or difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. If we love Jesus, we love His Word. If we love Jesus, we love the truth. Because you cannot separate Him from His Word. If you twist Scripture, then you're perverting God's image. It's called idolatry. And what's happening, folks, in many churches today, they have twisted the image of God. They have twisted Scriptures to suit themselves. And they are presenting a false God. It's idolatry. And that is, I believe, the system that many people are already in and don't even realize. Many of them don't even realize it. In John chapter 17, remember Jesus prayed for not only His disciples, but for all of those who would later believe. In verse 13 of John chapter 17, "But now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world, cosmos, has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Look at verse 14. He said, "I've given you, the disciples, your word. And the world, the cosmos, that is that system of the Antichrist, has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Remember, 11 out of the 12 died a martyr's death for the witness of Jesus because they were not going to bow their knee to the spirit of Antichrist. You and I have got to make the decision who we're going to serve and whether we're going to join Jesus in his reproach or we're going to go the wide road of the world that leads to destruction. We're going to listen to the doctrines of demons that wink at sin and tell you that sin is okay. God is holy, and he said, be holy because I'm holy. If you repent, you will find mercy. You will find grace. Amen? But if you do not, you will perish. God just keeps bringing me back to this, folks, and I'm going to read it again to you. In the book of Jude, this one chapter, in verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. One translation says licentiousness. That means a license to sin. And deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 5. But I want to remind you, who? The church. Though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. My prayer is that every one of us will finish well. Finish well. It's not enough to start out right. Blessed are those who overcome the world. How then do I overcome the world? By my faith. My faith in Jesus Christ. My faith in his word. My faith in his ability. My faith in the power of God and not in myself. My faith that God is able to keep that my soul which I commit to him against that day. My faith that my God is bigger than the boogeyman. Amen. He's bigger than the devil. My God is able to bring me into victory daily by his grace and not by my own efforts. Not by my own works, but by his grace alone. It's not something I can achieve. I must receive the grace of God. Amen. And I must trust fully in the grace of God. How do we overcome the world? Even our faith. It's not enough to start well. We need to finish well. Are you hearing me? And it doesn't matter what, you know, the world is saying. There's many voices and there's many things that are being presented today as truth. There's a wide variety of paths being offered to people today. They asked Jesus, Lord, will there be many saved? And that's how he answered. He said, strive to enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the road that leads to destruction, amen? And there are many that go that way. What we are seeing, especially in America, is a wide-scale apostasy taking place. People are falling away. People are departing from the faith, and they're giving heed to seducing spirits. These are spirits that draw people out. Sensual. They use sensuality to draw them away. And doctrines, teachings of demons. I don't want to be one of those that's going to listen to that wrong voice. Amen. Let God's word be true and every man a liar. Let God decide. Let him decide how I'm going to live. What I'm going to do with my life. Amen. Because the path of self-will leads to destruction. I want to see everybody in church. I want to see everybody loving, serving, following Jesus. But I'm not going to twist the scriptures to accommodate Jesus. people's lifestyles that are against the will of God. We're going to preach the truth. Amen. Because it's only the truth that will set you free. You want to be free? Forsake your own understanding. Forsake your opinion. And find out what God says. And submit yourself to His Word and watch how God will liberate you in every area of your life. And you can stand up and say, I'm free. I once was lost, but now am found. Was bound, but now I'm free. And it will be a reality. Not just a cute sing-along. It will be a reality. Hallelujah. Would you just join me and stand together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you sang that song this morning and you meant it in your heart, you understand what you're saying, right? Well, what I'm saying is that I'm done with me. I'm done with my way. I'm ready to follow God now. I'm ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That means I repent of my ways. And I'm going to live clean. I'm going to live a holy life before the Lord. I'm going to say yes to His voice daily and no to myself. If God says yes, it's yes. If God says no, it's no. I don't care what the world says, what label they put on it, how they want to twist stuff to fit themselves. If God says it's yes, it's yes. If He says no, it's no. Sorry, I'm just not going to conform. I'm not going to bow my knee to Baal. I'm not going to bow my knee to the spirit of Antichrist. Because what happens is, first, the Antichrist prepares the hearts of people. And then the actual time of the marking is coming. Where people will have to make a decision to renounce Christ and accept the mark of the beast. It's coming, folks. It's happening faster than most people realize. The deck of cards is coming down. Amen. The house of cards is coming down. Happening very quickly. We better wake up and get back to God and return. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Make sure you get your heart right. I believe that God will save many of us supernaturally in the days ahead if we stay close to Him. I believe God will make supernatural provision in the days ahead if we trust Him. But this is no time for us, folks, to be playing with the world. Amen. We come out of that system. We come out of that spirit of Antichrist. And we live in the kingdom of God. We live in the glory of His presence. And we are to be lights. We are to be salt. We are to be effective witnesses for Jesus. Hallelujah. And guess what? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. How many believe that today? Amen. God is greater in me than he that's in the world. So you are a world changer. Effect change by saying yes to God. Step out of the boat. Get on the water with Jesus and watch God work. Signs and wonders and miracles. Confirming His word. People are looking. There are many people who want truth. They just don't know where to find it because it's hard to find the truth today. There is a famine for the Word of God, even in the churches. But there is a remnant. God has a remnant. God has His people. God has a bride. He's getting her ready. She's going to go up in the rapture, I believe. The ones who are ready. The ones who have prepared themselves. Amen. Washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. For the Bible says God has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise. I'm going to trust Him. The government will fail you, but God will not fail. He's bigger than the government. Amen. As a matter of fact, the governments of this world are a drop in the bucket to Him. And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. The day is coming when Jesus Christ shall rule, amen, from Jerusalem over all the earth. He's coming in clouds of glory, folks. Get ready. He's coming for His bride. He's coming for His church. Get ready. Hallelujah.